situated in determination.
He certainly.
Translation. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly, because he is properly situated in his determination. Purport. The word sudarachala used in this verse is a very significant word, and we should understand it properly. So now we will hear very carefully what needs the proper understanding. When a living entity is conditioned, that's all of us, he has two kinds of activities. What could these two kinds of activities be? Willkommen. Ich spreche dir Englisch. Ich bin gerade. Ja, gut. Who could imagine what are the two kinds of activities of a living being? Sense gratifications, one. According to Vanashram Dharma, that's according to our social position, and Sanatan Dharma, that's about according to our spiritual position. Both of you have said one, that's correct, and you have said two, these are also correct. One kind of activity is conditional, and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body or abiding by the rules of society and state, certainly there are different activities even for the devotees in connection with the conditional life, and such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service of the Lord has activities which are called transcendental. Now this is a very important point. In this material world, there are two aspects in our lives. One is our physical aspect, that means our body, and the other is a spiritual aspect, that is our soul. According to the Vedic understanding, we are not human beings who have a soul, but we are souls who have a human being. You understand? There's a shift of priority. You are not a woman who has a soul, or not a man who has a soul inside, but you are the soul in a female or male body. That's a huge difference of understanding. So this means that there are two types of activities also. One is in relationship with our soul. It is a spiritual activity, like devotional service, or chanting the holy names of God, self-realization. And one is more, physical or material type of activities, like washing the body, eating, marrying, divorcing, all these things which apply on the physical platform. So this is the difference. There is a conditional activities referring to the body, or you have to brush the teeth, you have to walk, you need sleep, you spend a lot of time in the bathroom. These are all conditional activities, and then there are spiritual activities, like now you listen to the Bhagavad Gita, in the morning you chant Hare Krishna, you do devotional service. Now comes a dilemma. now in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. For instance, it could happen to a young devotee who goes to school. Going to school is a necessary activity. We have to be educated, we have to know certain things, and the state also asks certain things of us. That's a totally conditional activity in relationship to the body. And sometimes it goes parallel. One can combine the both, the two. Or a devotee marries and is married and he has children and so on and has to work for them. And it goes fantastic. One can chant enough and at the same time do also an activity. Ihr kriegt noch was zu essen. Ja, das ist der Nektar. Niemand darf den Tempel verlassen. No one should leave the temple without taking prasadam. Then the temple visit is successful. So, everything goes parallel. Very easy. But sometimes there's disturbance from the conditional side into the constitutional side. For instance, sometimes you might really like to chant and read, but you have so much problems in your marriage life that it's very difficult. Or another example, which maybe is also very relevant, you might like to chant and read and be very nicely engaged in Krishna consciousness, but then you fall sick. And all you can do is go like, you know, until the whole basket is full of Tempotaschentücher. Or you might like to perform your devotional service, but then your mind is so disturbed, your conditional mind is so disturbed that you always think of something or someone. This also happens in the movement of Krishna consciousness. And you can't get into your spiritual life. Or it sometimes happens that devotees want to give a class, but then they have to visit the bathroom. In India, those of you who have been in India sometimes found out that they are so enthusiastic to do so many things, but then this foolish body just does sounds. And anyways, we don't want to get into the embarrassing detail here. You understand, there is sometimes a conflict. I remember when I had to go to school, and I had so much to do in Krishna consciousness, but then I had to do my homework. Wurzel aus 1011. Logarithmen. So interesting. And I had to do, but it was necessary, but I couldn't do my Krishna conscious activities all what I wanted, and it was a disturbance, it was a conflict. So sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relationship to the body will parallel one another. That is ideal. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed. Die widerstreiten sich, die widerstreben sich to one another. As far as possible, how nicely, as far as possible, a devotee is very cautious, vorsichtig, so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. Wholesome means ausgewogen, ausgeglichen. He should be very careful that these type of activities do not conflict each other. It should go smoothly. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. See, sometimes it happens, in other words, that in the conditional side of a devotee, some grievous mistakes happen. For instance, it may happen that he has a quarrel with his parents and leaves to go to Krishna consciousness, and this aging mother and father sit in the corner and cry, "Oh, my sin." It does happen. You are laughing, but it happens. Did they get Pashar in the voice? The young voice that cannot listen to philosophers. It's all right. Yeah. Good. It does happen that the devotee does something voluntarily, which is seen from the social position as very bad. I know some, if I look around here, some devotees, when they joined, it was not easy. Mother and father were very disturbed by the decision. Or, you may do some, there may be another accident which happens on the physical platform, on the conditional side of a devotee. A devotee may say a lie out of a mistake. Or we, Dominic and me, we always drive too fast. We drive sometimes 3 times as fast as it is allowed. That is from the laws of the state. It is abominable. People just go, they can't believe the driving style of the Vaishnavas. So then, sometimes even it happens that devotees are seen from the material perspective as misfits, nicht? Also Außenseiter. Sometimes, isn't it, people look at us and say, "You are crazy." It happens because of some activities. But such things do not disqualify a devotee. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination, from dieser unmöglichen Tat. The material contamination, please listen to this sentence very clearly, very solidly. The material or a devotee, sometimes it happens in our temple that some devotee does something impossible. He falls in love with the wife of someone else, or with an unmarried woman, or just things which are, maybe we go like, this is totally unusual. But these temporary fall downs or mistakes should not be taken so seriously, because Krishna in the heart excuses this and purifies the devotee. Then the material contamination, dear devotees, young and old, listen to this. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared, also verzaubert, verstrickt. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional, gelegentlicher, fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For, as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is found to have fallen. The words Sadhu Eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides, verspottet, a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. Are you with the purport? It is a very intense purport, really. Two types of activities, constitutional and conditional. A devotee has these two types of activities. Sometimes there's an accident. He does something wrong, maybe says something wrong, maybe acts in a wrong way, and so on and so forth, on the conditional platform. But Krishna, if he sees the determination of a devotee, excuses him and purifies him from within the heart. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly, also unfehlbar, oder unerschütterlich eigentlich, and exclusively engaged in devotional service. In the Nishinga Puran, the following statement is given. Bhagavati chahara vanantya cheta brisha malinopi virajate manushya nahi shasha kalusha shapti karachit timira parabhavatam upaiti chandra. Very nice verse. The meaning is that even if one is fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, these activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Then, rabbit goes over the snow, it leaves some marks. The devotee sometimes may have this rabbit mark. Some small things there. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee is in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. It's not a free ticket for foolish behavior, in other words. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Sarada, I know you are not the biggest philosopher in the universe, but you have to hear this. This is very important. Just try. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. Rat on illusion. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This verse and purport of the Bhagavad Gita is very important for a devotee who wants to understand the potency and power of direct devotional service to the Lord. This verse reads in the translation again, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. In other words, the devotee wants to sincerely become Krishna conscious, but his material nature, his conditional nature is so strong that sometimes it pulls one away from the proper activities, proper engagement in devotional service. All of us, I believe, have some type of experience in with themselves in their own career in devotional service. That we have been seen that we are fully convinced of Krishna consciousness. We want to surrender, but our natures sometimes seem to be so strong that we do things which we have long, long ago seen as activities which we really don't want to do. Do you know what I'm speaking about, or is it totally foreign? Do I have my audience today? Yeah. Yes, because I want to talk about important things. I just need to see. It makes sense, these two types of activities. So, now the wonderful, now this point is discussed further by our acharyas. They say that Krishna and Arjuna had a little discussion on this subject, which is not here in the verses. And that is that Arjuna said to Krishna, Krishna, you mean to say that a devotee who does some fallen materialistic activities is considered to be saintly? Shouldn't it be that as long as he is engaged in devotional service, he is in good standing, but if he does a mistake, then he does a mistake. He is to be neglected, he is to be... No, said Krishna. Even if he does some abominable activity, like lying or stealing or just doing something which is really, something which is bad. Abominable means verabscheuenswürdig in German. It's a very strong word. Oh, said Arjuna, Krishna, if I preach this, if I tell this to others, they will think that this bhakti yoga or this process of yours is not to be taken very serious, because if someone does something wrong, he should be seen as a wrongdoer. No, says Krishna. Very emphatic as nachdrücklich. No. If you say this, people will worship you and say, you are a Mahatma. Why? Because it really glorifies the constitutional, also wesensgemäß in Deutsch, the constitutional activities of Krishna consciousness, or as one devotee said, of Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of the soul. Even if you do a little bit on this side, the power of these is so great. And there are many examples in the Shastras which are given. I personally find the nicest example, it was given by Jayapataka Maharaj in Pula. And I want to tell you about it. It's one of many, many, many examples which can be found in our Shastras. And I think when you hear this, you will be able to remember a few others which you have heard. Once, there was a very evil-minded king, Kraji. And he was taxing the people, the subordinates of his kingdom, very heavily. Also, schlimme Steuersätze waren da. And he was killing his adversaries immediately without proper investigation. He was so selfish and really a rascal, an Adolf Hitler, so to say, you could say. Really, such a king. Now, this king had a few prostitutes he used to visit, and one of them lived in the forest, and he went one day to her. It was the month of Magha, it's February, and that's the time when the jasmine flowers start to grow. Those of us who were in Vrindavan know the smell of jasmine flowers. It's almost überirdisch, unearthly. You know, when the sun, our Shanti might know because she was at that time there, and Shama Sundari also. And when the sun sets in Vrindavan and it becomes cool, and then you smell the fragrance of this jasmine flowers. Champak is the word. It's just, you don't want to go to bed. It's so, just so nice. And you know, these flowers are serving Krishna. This flower is also in the spiritual world, but there the smell is you cannot express it in words. Tulsi's smell in the spiritual world is also much, much, much different than what we can smell in this world. The smell of Tulsi is covered in this world because we would faint. It is so nice. So this champak is there, and it is offered to Krishna. Garlands are made with it. Maybe sometimes you will be able to get a Maha garland from Radha Shyam Sundar if you have a jasmine flower. It is, oh, jasmine is really, I'm speaking of Vrindavan jasmine. So it is traditionally offered to Krishna and to Lord Narayan because it's so nice. And that was the season for it. So our king was there with the prostitute, and they were talking to each other to get a little bit into the mood. And all of a sudden, the king heard a little noise. He immediately, like kings are full of fear always, look, you know, someone was coming maybe or something, and he saw from a nearby yasmin tree a flower was falling down. That was the noise. It had fallen down. So, out of joke, to make a little the conversation a little spicy, he gestured towards the flower and just made circles with the flower. He didn't have the flower in his hand. He just gestured towards it and made like this, Om Namo Narayanaya, just smiling. It's something like, you can see devotees do something, they pretend or imitate as if they have a piece of incense and they go like, puja puja, you know, kling sanatan yogi namaha, you know, you know. Have you seen this sometimes in our movement? They just out of joke, a harmless, nice joke, you know. So in the same way he made, but without taking incense, just out of fun. So he, in the same mood, just made like this, Om Namo Narayana. You get the idea. At that moment, there was a terrible noise. And the door of the house was opening and yelling with them. The 10 rebels were there with a bow and an arrow. They shot. It came directly in his heart and he immediately died in his own blood. Listen what happened. At that moment, the Yamadutas were very enthusiastic. It was Satya Yuga where not so much sin was happening, but now finally they got the sinful demon, you know, and they were so heavy. Special squadron, you know, came like fire squad, you know, the specialists, Yamadutas. They came to take him and punish him for his many, many sinful deeds. But when they arrived at the dead body of the sinful king, they became totally surprised. There they saw four beautiful personalities, a lot of effulgence, crowns, beautiful garments, bodies like a dark monsoon cloud. They were the Vishnu Dutas. And the Vishnu Dutas said, stop! You cannot take this king. What? Said the Yama Dutas, of course! We will make him embrace a red hot iron woman. He will burn many, many times because of all his illicit sexual activities. No? You cannot take it. Zaisto! They said, why not? Why? The Yamaduta said, he has chanted the names of God at the time of death. Does this remind you of another illustration? Huh? Arajamya, yes. Same, similar circumstance. And therefore he goes back. This is how strong spiritual activities are. That the holy name can absolve the sinful activities, even if chanted in a joking spirit. Parihasa is the Sanskrit word. Now you might say, I am chanting the holy name since many years, but I don't feel very liberated. I feel still very much like a conditioned soul. I think the thoughts ordinary people think. I get agitated with the same small things ordinary people get agitated. I'm not very transcendental after all these years, the way I'm very honest, you know, we are in the family, can discuss these things openly. what is, how can you say such things? And the answer is that even the giving of these results is totally dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. He is in charge. It's not that devotional service is an automatic process. But each activity of devotional service does have this power. The ordinary course, also der gewöhnliche Verlauf der Entwicklung im Leben eines Devotees, the ordinary course of development in Krishna consciousness is that we should develop our work for Krishna. Devotion for Krishna. Thank you. We should work on this. It is now somewhere, it is there with us. Krishna prema satya nitya nitya siddha Krishna prema satya kabunoya. This means the eternal perfection of devotion, Krishna consciousness, is already there. But it is now covered. And the process of devotional service is to uncover this. This is the ordinary process, not that we, you know, our process is, for instance, at the moment of our death, we pour a bucket of Ganga water over us, and then we reach our perfection, or we drink some charanamrita. No, we rise early in the morning, and go through a program of rigorous sadhana, perform austerities even in devotional service, because by this process we develop this love and devotion for Krishna. That's the ordinary process. Medyutam. But each of the processes of devotional service has such a great power. The moment of death, if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you will go back to Godhead. So, this is the strength of constitutional activities. When thinking, and Krishna will always see, the spiritual master will always see, what are these constitutional activities. We as conditioned souls often look at the external activities, conditional activities. How well behaved is someone? How, you know, maybe learned is someone? How intelligent and how successful even in activities is someone? But Krishna looks, where is that sincere determination in the devotee to serve Krishna, to do a constitutional activity. And whatever it is, Krishna will never mind the mistakes or faults or this conditional part. Some of us are very learned. Some of us were always well behaved. But others come from a social background which was, you know, problematic. And this may still reflect in their whole, you know, the way they look, the way they act, the way they think, and so on. But the important thing is someone devoted? Is not these external qualities, is someone devoted to Krishna? Does he want to serve Krishna? Krishna only looks for that. Therefore he says, even if he commits the most abominable action due to his nature, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly. What does this mean? This means that we should be very interested in our lives to increase the amount of constitutional activities. We should be very interested to do our service with the mood, oh, I am going shopping now for Krishna. getting potatoes for Krishna. I am doing the service, I'm preaching for Krishna to make people understand about, and let them find their own practical conclusions, etc. We should always do our activities in that spirit. Spirit means in the relationship of soul to Krishna. This is very important. The more you can do such constitutional activities, the better it is. You might remember this very nice anecdote which I have told several times, but I don't believe here in Heidelberg. It's about this Brahmana who came to a village where he felt attracted to reside. He wanted to change, you know. Gezügelt zu Deutsch, also umgezogen. And he wanted to find like a new place. So he went to this village, and before he entered the village, he saw many gravestones, Grabmäler, where it was said, here died Gopal, he became 2.5 years old. Here Sita, she became 1.5 years old. Here is Thakur Singh, he was 1 year and 9 months old, etc. He was thinking, what, everyone dies so young here? Maybe it's a Seuchen area, a plague or something here. So he just decided, I will just give a just very brief lecture, then go. So when he gave the lecture, many came like Janavi with a notebook and wrote down something. He felt inspired, oh, finally someone is listening. You know, they all, actually not many, the whole village was there writing. Oh, fine. And then he decided, okay, I stay here the night and tomorrow I give my goodbye lecture. So he stayed for the morning, he did the lecture, and everyone was so screaming, so serious, and looked just very... But nevertheless, he decided to go. But then he met one man and he said, don't go, stay. It's a very nice village. We need brahmanas like you. No. I'm fearing for my life. What? Said the man. Yes, I'm fearing for my life because I saw these graveyards. They all became like not more than 3 years old. I will die a sudden death when I stay here. Ah, said the man. You are not very considerate, also du überlegst, hast du nicht gut überlegt. I'm still living. I have my father, who is 70 years old. Yeah, but then, what is with this graveyard, said the man. I'm so afraid, I think I have like a bacillus already, and I'm... No, you don't understand. It means... We are counting in this village the time where we spend in devotional service. That's what we count. You know, they make it, have you seen, they take notebooks, they write down. I was 1 hour in a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I was chanting so much, and here I was doing this for the temple, and so on. And, you know, if you add that, it becomes for a person who... let us say it's 80 years old, it becomes like 2.5 years. I want to hint towards you, all of you, look at your day. Let us look at a typical day. We sleep how many hours a day? Heidelberg, 8 hours. I mean, all the little nachrasten and so on. Isn't it? What? Kind of mehr, sometimes more when we are depressed, then more. So 8 hours. Let's say average devotee, maybe fully enthusiastic bhakti, 7 hours. 8 hours is quite realistic. If you make the experiment, it's quite realistic. We may have in our book 6 hours is good. But, we are in the family. This is real talk now. 8 hours, okay. Yeah, please, you can look at that, make this 8 hours. Then we have to, we eat. This means we go to that dark room also. And we take two showers a day. How many hours eating and so on? What would you say? 2 hours during a day? 3 meals? And then we talk a little bit. Prajalpa takes longer. The afternoon, 15 minutes. But then so much prajalpa is there. So both half an hour, 1 hour. So eating 2 hours, that's Janavi, you are our calculator. Please schreib dir das bitte mal mit, dass wir die Stunden dann zusammenzählen. Ne? Hast du es noch?
Ja.
So, then, many times our minds, they are gone with the wind. Isn't it? We think of Bosnia and our mother and father. Is it too heavy or is it too... hopefully I don't make an offense, please. I don't want to make offense. I just want to be realistic. We think... Oh, this is, I think, very private. I should not talk about this. No, let me not talk. I will not think about our mind. I will not talk about our... our voice, how we engage the voice, and we'll not talk about the body, but they take a lot of time, a day, mind, body, and words. What else? We walk somewhere. Anyways, I want to say, wie viele Stunden haben wir von diesen Sachen jetzt, die wir aufgeschrieben haben, wo wir nichts gesagt haben, also die wir besprochen haben.
Hm? 11
hours. 11 hours for what? Eating, sleeping, showering. Then washing the cloth. That's also something harmless. We don't want to get so private in this lecture. Washing cloth, how much? Half an hour? It depends, sometimes more. Half an average half an hour if you are fast. Do you get the idea? In our lives, we have not so much time for devotional service. Because then we get old. Oh! And then we get sick. Then we sit at the dentist for many hours. I mean, so much time is just consumed by our just living here without doing anything. Some of us go to school or some of us learn driver's license or have some learning activities. Some of us do here like you do something to stay in for the visa 3 months. Bang, 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 bang. You know, that takes some time. Then we have to buy things, to take care of the car. You know, so much time is just going into these conditional activities. If we are not a little serious about understanding the power and the necessity for constitutional activities, it's very bad. We are not using our life really to the maximum amount. This material body, human body, is a gift by the Lord. Krishna had created the whole creation, all the life forms, and then he thought, they are not suitable, really, these life forms, for self-realization. Why? Because in the animal form of life, everything you do is according to the urges, in Deutsch, die Triebe. Instincts. Only the human body gives a soul the chance to lean a little back from these conditional activities and think, what am I going to do with my life? If a devotee is clever, he will arrange his time in such a way that he can do as many constitutional activities as he can. You can see this just a little while ago. We had our most wonderful Jaipataka Maharaj here. Have you seen his schedule? He is so much convinced of devotional service. I stayed next to him in a Radha Desh. I mean, next to him means in the room. And when sometimes you wake up in the night and you can't sleep immediately, and I looked at still at 12 o'clock he was still doing service. Then I looked at 1 o'clock, still service. 2 o'clock, still the light was on. Then I came to the Mangal Arati, there he was already. This is how sincere Vaishnavas are practicing their lives. Of course, we are not Jaipataka Maharaj, we can't imitate. We would most probably have a nervous breakdown if we... Once I asked the Maharaj, how are you doing this? He said, sometimes on one day he has 18 different preaching arrangements. 18. It goes marathon. He said, when he left, when do you rest, Maharaj? On the plane. Or in the car. Too much time wasting for the... And he said, and how are you doing this? Well, the preaching is such nectar. All my servants burn out because they have to pack the things, they have to buy the ticket, they have to do the driving and so on. But I do the preaching, therefore I have to change the servants. I do the preaching and get all the nectar. To do constitutional activities is nectar, Prabhus. This is the example we can get from our senior Vaishnavas, our great examples in devotional service. It is a nectar. You swim in the nectar. There is no nectar in taking care of the machine. In the machine, the most cared, this guy here between the eye and the ears, you know, who has an uninvited residence place there. He takes so much time. Sometimes he takes a life time. Just all for me, take care of me. I think I'm like this, and to take care of me. So. Now, this is one side of this practical application. And other side, and I will end with this, is that a devotee should not, you know, come into this situation, I have to go now to the bathroom, I have to do this, And wherever you are in your life, whatever station you have to go through, maybe you have to go through Grihastha Ashram, or maybe you have to go through Brahmachari Ashram, whatever, you should think of Krishna. That's really the essence of devotional service, the essence of a devotee's life. Even though you might have some conditional activities, you should think of Krishna and focus your restless mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Then you can pass very easily through this life, even with so many conditional activities. Sada tat bhava bhavita. Your existence in this world is determined by what you think. Once Sri Vishnupad gave a class about a revolutionary new concept, everyone looked like this at him, and he said, the only difference between you and me is what we think. Most of his disciples, that was his last. So was the only Prabhupada disciple there. And, that's the only difference between two types of persons. Here in the mind. Here we have to start. Devotee meets the mind. Means to cultivate these constitutional activities by thinking of Krishna and acting for him. If we can do this, the conditioned activities don't mind, even if we have to take care of a family, you know, when we are in Grihastha ashram or similar situations, or you know, sometimes it happens, you're there and your car goes wrong and you have to do something with the car and lose a lot of time. Whatever, you know, happens, good or bad, in the conditional sphere of activity, just sala bole Thakur, just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because then you can fix your mind on constitutional activities. Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Thank you very much for struggling with your attention and hearing this. I do hope that you have understood the principle, and I also sincerely wish that you will think about this in your own life, what it means in your own life. Please do not forget this lecture immediately after you are out of this room. It's a very serious point. If you do understand it, you have a very nice guideline, so to say, in Krishna consciousness. Good. Do you have any questions? Yes, Sasha? Dein Name ist doch Sasha, ne?
Yes.
Yes.
Some different kind of activities in Krishna consciousness, and so sometimes we have many possibilities to do this activity, service, Krishna, or this. So how is the best way to choose which activity is the best?
Which of the constitutional activities? Yes, this.
Or spiritual problems. Or
yeah. You have to have some sort of mission in your life at every moment. What are you about? What do you want to do? And then you choose according to this. If your mission is preaching, or I believe your personal service at this moment is Sankirtan.
I'm now in bus program.
Bus program even. So you should do your activities according to this mission which you have in your life. Whatever it is. Now, if in the same program there are different things, best is to ask the devotee who is in charge, who knows all the services and what needs to be done. Please tell me what is best to do in the name of this program.
So
we should, when we are in a service, we should take all the roles which are necessary so that the service becomes successful. Sometimes we are sweeping, sometimes we are preaching, sometimes we are doing this and that. We should fulfill many roles. I saw this when we were in the Poland Festival. It was such a wonderful, ecstatic thing, but 50,000 young boys and girls danced and chanted to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We were two times on the main stage of this Woodstock Festival, and you can't believe how much spiritual energy is created, how Mahaprabhu all of a sudden becomes present when the chanting is done with so much. Isn't it, Dominique?
Yes.
And that was really good. You know, we were just... and then we saw this devotee, Prahlad. Very nice Vaishnava. He was sometimes leading the kirtan, then he jumped away from the kirtan, put a chada on, and he was the pujari, preaching pujari. You know, that was when we had 7 marriages on the stage, and the most important men of, I mean, most important is the president, Lech Walesa, but there, in every society, there are very famous figureheads, and this one, you are from Poland, you, Jurek Owsiek? You know, yeah, I'm saved. Very well-known man, very extremely well-known, and he was there in dhoti. We dressed him in dhoti to give away the bride to the bridegroom, and he was sometimes crying. You know, Polish people are sentimental when it comes to marriage. Yeah. Also, like Germans and Bosnians or whatever. This is really the thing, you know, marriage. Most important thing in the universe. And his wife was dressed in zari, and all his secretaries with gopi points. But not the bodyguards. You know, they were heavy. He always has 5 bodyguards, and TV was there, and he said he was praising the Vaishnavas from the stage, national TV. So. We did so many things. That's almost like another chapter talk about this. And sometimes he was cleaning the place, isn't it? Taking the prasadam plates, which the young boys and girls had just thrown away. They don't think really, you know, has to go to them. So you have to clean after them, you know. Everything, so that the program could go on. So this also, Indradumna Maharaj also gave such a nice example. See, at the end of our last song, we only have sung one song, the peace song, Hare Krishna, you know, from this day. At the end, we wanted to distribute a 1-ton big cake, torta. Yes. So we drove the torta with a big lorry or truck on the stage, and we announced, so now for the last song, because everything was so nice and we wish you all the best, you will take prasadam. It's the 1 cake ton which we will offer. I have offered to Lord Krishna. Now it's distributed. All of a sudden, it was like the Ganga when there's inundation due to the whole, you know, like, I don't think it was 50,000 before the stage, but like 30,000 people just moved towards the torta. And we had like an iron fence, eine eiserne Absperrung, and they were all becoming pressed on the fence, and one girl was losing already her consciousness because, you know, people can die in such circumstances. So, and the Dumna Maharaj, like a lion, jumped from the stage. He dove right into the crowd, and he took the girl out to save her life, and then he jumped on the truck and got the Marius, our Krishna consciousness. It was a big Polish guy, like, but he, you could sit and see him in the bus. He drove the bus, practicing karata, and he fully spiritualized Polish bus driver, and he just took him and they drove the truck away. Devotees should do everything so that the program can go on of devotional service. This is how you... And if you don't know what is more important and what is less important, then you can ask those who know.
Mm-hmm. In our philosophy, we have 2 very significant instances of fall down, the story of Junior Haridas and Kaladas, Krishna Kalakrishna.
Kalakrishna, yeah.
And in one of these instances, the Lord rejected the devotee, and in the other, he took him back to his service. So, how is it that sometimes the Lord, in this instance, of all, he's kind of were given, and
sometimes he was rejected, apparently. Well, Mahaprabhu's Leelas have two aspects. One aspect, I should repeat the question. There was an instance where a devotee was accepted back by the Lord, and in another instance it seemed the Lord rejects someone, like Yunya Haridas, who eventually committed suicide. Mahaprabhu's Leelas have always two aspects. One is the Leela, the other is the instruction which he gives with the Leela. And with this instruction, he wanted to teach all his followers to be extremely careful with the association with the opposite sex. That's the commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because great, that's association with the opposite sex is not just association with a nice person, but the whole material nature with attraction and repulsion is all of a sudden there. So therefore, you're really associating with Prakriti. So therefore, there are very strict rules in our tradition for this. And the Lord wanted to give an example for his followers to be careful. But he accepted Yunya Haridas, and the proof for this is that Yunya Haridas was singing, continuing his service of singing for the Lord. He came in a Gandharva voice, in a body, and he sang to the Lord songs of separation when the Lord was at the ocean. Lord Chaitanya sometimes went to the ocean alone in the night, and the waves of the ocean sing, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And this was because this is Mahaprabhu's mood, you know, the mood of Radha, hankering for Krishna. So he was there. Then Yunida Haridas was allowed in this most intimate mood of the Lord to sing for him. He came in a body. He gave up. And giving up bodies and taking up bodies, that's something totally transcendental in Gaura Leela. Many of them, of the associates, are personalities from the Leela of Lord Krishna, who come for some time, go. No, the Lord always accepts a fallen soul who has committed a blunder, because he is Bhava Grahi Janarana. It means he accepts the essence of a devotee's feeling. That's so nice. That's one of the qualities of Krishna mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's gratefulness. For every little service, the Lord is unendingly grateful. Rupa Goswami gives the example of Draupadi, who chanted, "Hey Govinda, hey Gopal," in the time of absolute need and distress. And Krishna said, "This sincere call for me, hey Govinda, hey Gopal, has brought me in her debt." Eternally. And I can never forget this debt which I have to Draupadi. And it's growing every day. Prabhupada writes, you can just imagine how Krishna feels about a devotee who chants regularly Hare Krishna. The Lord is grateful. Say, "Thank you, thank you." So he never will show away his devotee. Only demons. There's only one passage in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, where there is an example of almost eternal condemnation. Do you understand this word, eternal condemnation? Ewige Verdammnis, sagt man in Deutsch. I want to read this. Maybe we should make a window open, because some of you are getting tired, although it's so interesting. Attaining Listen to this. This is a case when Krishna does not forgive. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such person can never approach me, the demons. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. Yet those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually, unaufhörlich, cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. And Prabhupada raises a question in this purpose. That it is known that God is all merciful, but here we find that God is never merciful to the demoniac. It is clearly stated that the demoniac people, life after life after life after life after life, are put into the wombs of similar demons. And not achieving the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they go down and down, so that at last they achieve bodies like those of cats and dogs and hawks. They have practically no chance of receiving the mercy of God even at any stage of later life. Prabhupada says, this should not be seen that now the Lord has lost his merciful qualities. It's just the placing of the demons into lower forms is another sign of their mercy. They can't harm anyone there. But if they are killed by the Lord, then this is very good for them. The Lord tramples over them. In some incarnation, if the Lord kills them in the Vasudeva, in his feature as Vasudeva, when he comes as Kalki riding on his horse, it's the only mercy, form of mercy to liberate them from their fallen existence. Therefore, God's mercy is shown to the Asuras if they are fortunate enough to be killed by him. Very heavy chapter. The demonic natures. I can only take one. Janavi?
When a devotee is in an occasional fallout, he's still recognized by Krishna. Yeah. But it's so difficult in the preaching, because then the guests or the members will understand this person, because they can see the faults in his own character.
I will repeat your question. When a devotee has an occasional fall down, it's excused by the Lord, but guests can't, because they see with the process that, the Lord has a different vision. Isn't it nice, Genevieve? If something should happen to any one of us, we can feel the Lord is merciful. But if we now willfully do something, I heard in the class, that was a good class for me. What's today in the cinema, in the evening, that is of course, then that is really bad. Then this is offensive, and it is not. It's taking the mercy of God. Doesn't it show you that if the Lord is so compassionate, shouldn't we be a little bit more compassionate with each other's faults? What do you think? If the Lord is ready to forgive, why can't we forget if someone steals our gulab jamun, or it's simply wonderful, just crosses us in some ways? A devotee, a woman becomes beautiful by her eyes, a man by his muscles, not by muscles, intelligence, and he becomes, a sadhu becomes beautiful by his quality to forgive. Forgive and forget, may the past rest. Know the song? Maybe it's my own song. <I don't know>.
many other devotional services in the region which are just meaningful in the material world.
Why are this? I can understand how worshipping the Lord is an eternal activity, a constitutional activity, but there are other services also, like preaching, but you don't preach in the spiritual world any longer, there everyone, no need, you know. How is this a constitutional activity? Let us analyze what is the essence of the Vrindavan mood. All the inhabitants of the spiritual world are existing for service of Krishna. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, the cowherd boys, the gopis, everyone is serving the Lord, even the water. We hear how the Yamuna comes and with her waves which are like hands, she brings lotus flowers to the Lord. The really essence of the mood in Vrindavan is service. Now, if we want to come into the Vrindavan mood and go back to Vrindavan, spiritual world, we will need to capture this essence in our lives. And in this world, the activities certainly look different than in the material world, but you can serve, in the spiritual world, but you can serve the Lord also in the spiritual, in the material world. And serving the Lord in the material world is best done by serving the mission of the Lord. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that no servant is dearer to me than he who preaches my glories. That's the mission of the Lord. He in fact comes personally to restore the Sampradaya, you know, when he comes in his Swayam Bhagavan feature, or he comes personally when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's interesting, I was just thinking, in the eternal Leela of the Lord, there are two features. It is the Nitya Leela, these are the eternal pastimes which take place in the spiritual world, and then there are the Naimittic Leelas. These are Leelas which the Lord only does in the material world, for instance, like killing demons. In the Goloka Vrindavan, there are no demons, they are only in Boma Vrindavan. Boma is a word, comes from Bhumi, earth, you know, the Vrindavan on this earth. But even in Goloka Vrindavan, that is the spiritual world, there is a shadow of demons. Sometimes they walk through the fields of Vrindavan, and some of the devotees think he saw Agasura. Isn't it? Sometimes when you are a little fearful, you have this. When I was a young boy, I always saw Frankenstein. When I was moving to the night through the town, you know, when I was too late and just missed the last bus, you know, you know this sometimes when you're alone somewhere, Sasha. Sometimes you're dark. Yeah. So sometimes in Vrindavan they think they saw Agasura. Then they all run to the village. You know, someone thinks and runs, and it's Krishna. Krishna tells the people, Krishna, Krishna. And then Krishna immediately comes. Or sometimes some cowherd boys just make a painting of the demons. You know, just some Denukasura. Sometimes when he attacks, has four heads. He's a real, you know, real good one. You know, and you find these big billboards almost. I mean, you can't say billboards, you can't say this, but then they say, Denukasura, and you know, and then shout, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is the arrangement of Purnamasi, who then the Lord's devotees come to, then the Lord comes. And why is this incinerated? Because well, then the love for the Lord is more increased. That fear, sometimes you're pushed in a direction, but oh, in this world also you might know, and you're afraid, oh, now I really surrendered to Krishna. So this is going on in Vrindavan. There's, in other words, a shadow of demons. Not real. A rumor, Gerücht, of demons. Not real. But also this increases the service mood of the devotees, to the devotion of the devotees, the surrender of the devotees. It all, the love of the devotees, all increases this. So the Dharma mood is really the service mood. And in this so just like the Lord does activities in the spiritual world, which are, you know, these are called the Ashtakaliya Lila, which are the eightfold pastimes around the different periods of the time, of the day, which always are the same, Nitya Lila. And in this world he does Naimitic Lilas also, you know, additional Lilas, mainly referring to killing of the demons or his birth pastime in Vrindavan. Yoloka Vrindavan, he's always at the Shyamasunda, threefold banded form. He doesn't take birth there. So, in the same way, a preacher or our activities are in there in some way, and there here, and sometimes in other ways, like preaching. But they are all, in the essence, the same service, surrender, and so on. In other words, this shows us, Lalita, we must capture the essence in devotional service, which is a loving service, serving mood. Then it really becomes a Vrindavan activity. I saw this with the preachers in when we had this festival, and you know, I was sometimes laughing. I was in the question and answer booth, and then you see sometimes these impossible young people, which you just want to take on your lap and say, "Did you eat enough?" You know, and you know, just these nice innocent people, but who are totally misguided. You know, I was just sometimes seeing these wild Shminka and wild this and that, and you just feel so much affection for the conditioned souls. You want to preach to them and help them, and then is when real preaching starts. You know, this when you want to, it's like then it becomes like real sweet devotional service for Krishna. So, yeah. This is how, in all service, we should perform this, some attachment for Krishna. Preaching, writing, typing, sankirtan, kirtan, very important in kirtan or in bhajan, that you think of Krishna. Then you will dance, but if you can't think of Krishna, then you are like a tree, grown to the thing. If you are bhajan, you must think of Krishna, then what is in your heart goes out. Yeah, I think Gaura Shiromani was first. No? Has to done hands, Kat? Yeah.
I have a question for this story of the king who was liberated.
Yeah. It's an amazing story, isn't it?
Yes. I thought about this story was in the Ajami Lila, because this manipulation is meant so he plans to willingly surrender again to Krishna.
Yeah. But he did not willingly surrender to Krishna. He was a demon.
He didn't even want to go back to Krishna.
Most probably not. It was not in his mind. The point here is, the illustration here shows us how powerful spiritual activities are. Prabhupada, I just heard a lecture. He spoke about, he said how the potency of the soul distributes itself through the body. And he gave the example of an arsene. Gibt es arsene? It's a poison, isn't it? And you put only a little in the body and you're finished. chemical diplomata chemiker. So in the same way, the soul is so small, but it has so much influence. In the same way, constitutional activities may be small, but they're so strong. But you are right. The general case is, you know, what we do. I think I'd explained that in the lecture. You might remember the general case is conscious endeavor. But they're so strong. But many examples. I, for instance, just got a letter. I'm sorry, a letter from one young Mataji, I think in Holland, who once saw. Yeah, she just stumbled into the room of her parents, and saw a broadcast, a TV broadcast of Radha Desh. She was totally in some other thoughts and so on. She just saw that, and she became so irresistibly attracted. I must see these people. And then she saw, but she's scientifically minded, and she said, everything in my education and so on revolted. Thought this is impossible, these people. How can they believe something so strange? And so on. But seeing the devotees, hearing the holy name, did something to her she couldn't explain. And now she finds herself in the temple and says, I'm surprised, but happy. Isn't it? Sometimes, don't you also wonder, how did I become a devotee? Glück gehabt, you know. One thinks, how is it possible? And the only answer is there. We had some contact, and this contact was so strong that sometimes I talk with the devotee a little privately, and they say, I don't know what made me move into the temple. Maybe it must have been. It was something beyond my control. I never wanted to join. I was afraid. I thought this is too strange. You know, it just cannot enter the European society. It's just too mass mention. You know. Now I'm one of them, and I don't regret one second. Yeah, I'm really sorry. We have to go one time through everyone, and then, yeah, Mitya?
Well, when we perform these spiritual activities.
Constitutional activities, yes.
And then, what is the value of these activities? When sometimes happen, we have more of these activities, and then mind is even more difficult thing to. For mind is even more difficult to think really on Krishna or on this.
I want to say, because I feel the unrest with some of my in the audience. This is the last question. Tomorrow is another chance. I will answer. Keep it for tomorrow. You can even write it down if it's too difficult to remember it tomorrow.
And I want to ask, what's the value of these activities? And also,
is it that? Let me ask very. You do devotional service, but sometimes it becomes stress because it's so many things, and then you are all under stress, and then what is the value of these activities?
And also, how should we think about performing these activities? Yeah. Should we separate the thing from Krishna, or should we just know that this is what we are doing for Krishna, and we should do it the best we
can? Okay, when. It's not good to perform devotional service out of stress, because when there is stress, you have all such unpleasant reactions like anger, when something doesn't happen the way you want, you're frustrated, you're getting attached. I'm speaking of such type of stress. There may be maybe something which we call Krishna anxiety, you know, where you still are thinking for Krishna. But I mean the stress where you just become a neurotic human being. So at that time That's not so good. But still, it will act. Now, what should we ideally... There's certainly benefit. What should we ideally think? Well, we should think this service Prabhupada gives, this meditation, is given to me by Krishna. I should perform it for Krishna. But sometimes you can't really make a conscious endeavor to think of Krishna, because when you do it, you might be absent-minded and your finger goes into the karobi machine and the machine eats your whole hand and so on. You have to be concentrated on that your finger doesn't go in the karobi machine or whatever. I will see this tomorrow, the whole machinery of our Prasadam Army. Yes, but I have heard lectures where Hare Krishna Maharaj has also explained, he had heard it from Prabhupada, that Arjuna was not really, you know, he had to concentrate to get the arrows out. But the general mood is the underlying mood, I'm doing this for Krishna. Like the general mood. For the Kami, it is the general mood, I'm enjoying this activity. He may not think so much. Oh, then when he eats, you know, a meal, he may not mean, oh, then I eat the strawberry, enjoy, and concentrate on the strawberry. He must just eat, but the general mood is enjoyment. So a devotee's general mood is, I'm doing this for Krishna. Guru and Krishna. So I thank you all very much for your kind concentration. I know it's hard sometimes on after a long day in Heidelberg to concentrate. Tomorrow we have another chance to associate together. I was thinking